And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
It's Tuesday night, everybody, which of course means that if it's 7 p.m. on the left coast, it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson, and I'm welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. If you want to do so, I ask you every week to interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. Go ahead and follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Now, let me introduce my guest. I've been very excited about this show because it concerns some news of the last couple of weeks. There's always something to talk about. And this is pretty current, pretty important. My guest is Senior Staff Sergeant, United States Army Aviation, retired, Douglas M. Ducote, Sr. He served in the Baton Rouge, L.A. Civil Air Patrol as both a cadet and a senior member. He was active duty U.S. Army, Army National Guard, and the Air National Guard. During his time in the Army, Ducote held three different MOS skills, CH-47 Chinook helicopter flight engineer, UH-1H Huey helicopter crew chief, and military police officer. His combat operation deployments in 1988, Operation Golden Pheasant, JTFB, in 1989, Operation Just Cause. In 1990, Operation Desert Shield. In 1991, Operation Desert Storm. And in 2003, Operation Iraqi Freedom, OIF. I'm very familiar with that one. And lastly, but not least, Douglas M. Ducote, Sr. is the founder of Veterans United for Justice. You can find them at veteransunitedforjustice.com, and the link is on the show page. Douglas Ducote, Sr., thank you for your service, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, I wanted you on as soon as I saw your video about Charlottesville. There was a lot of stuff going down there at Charlottesville, a lot of violence and a lot of misreporting. I want to give a little background. People know what they've seen, but they may not have seen the truth, because even Fox News, which has been the only news outlet that I've watched for some time, and I know from what I've heard you say, the only one you've really watched, you've recorded the others to comment, but the New York Times reported this, and of course, the Gray Lady is the newspaper that everybody on the left or everybody that seems to think they're an elitist, they run to for news. They reported, at the center of the chaos is a statue memorializing Robert E. Lee. It depicts the Confederacy's top general, larger than life, astride a horse, both green with oxidation. The white nationalists were in Charlottesville to protest the city's plan to remove the statue, and counter demonstrators were there to oppose them. The statue, it goes on to describe it, who the sculptor was, etc. But it says, over the past couple years, some residents and city officials, along with the NAACP, called for it to come down. Douglas Ducote, this is pretty crazy that mainstream media is painting this as an organization of white nationalists that were there to protest, but that's not how it started, is it?
No, not at all. And, you know, sadly, it was kind of hijacked by some very bad members of our society, a few members of the KKK, and David Duke was there. He used to be the imperial wizard of the KKK, and those folks had their, you know, Nazi flags and things of that nature, but they weren't invited. They weren't part of this. They weren't supposed to be there, but the news media focused in on them and tried to tie everything in on this being a protest put on by neo-Nazis and white supremacists, and that's not what it was at all.
I want to give something. This is interesting. I look up information on Wikipedia a lot. I'm sure you probably do too. Everybody does. And I laugh about it because I tell people, yeah, that bastion of objective thought and information. But sometimes they've got information like an encyclopedia. Sometimes they have stuff that is just purely subjective that's been put up there. And I wanted to see what they had to say about the Unite the Right rally. And this is what is up already at Wikipedia. The Unite the Right.
I can't wait to hear this.
I know, you're on the edge of your seat.
Because I haven't looked it up yet.
Yeah, well, now, you know, just hold on to your horses because this is pretty good. Right. Wikipedia writes, the Unite the Right rally, also known as the Charlottesville rally, was a far-right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, United States, from August 11 to 12, 2017. Its stated goal was to oppose the removal of a statue of Robert E. Lee from Emancipation Park, which itself had been renamed by a city council from Lee Park 2 months earlier. Protesters included white supremacists, white nationalists, neo-Confederates, neo-Nazis, and various militias. Some of the marchers chanted racist anti-Semitic slogans, carried semi-auto rifles, swastikas, Confederate battle flags, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitic banners, and Trump-Pence signs.
Wow.
Yeah, it goes on and on. Pretty much, it sounds like it was written by MSNBC or the NAACP, which, I have to say this, at its very inception, the NAACP was not such an evil organization, but they have morphed into something that is as radical as any of these organizations they're supposedly trying to stop. But, you know, Douglas Ducote, tell us who organized the rally, how many Klansmen were really there, and were they wanted?
Well, the Klansmen were not wanted. David Duke was not wanted. And, you know, one of the things that MSNBC and CNN and now Wikipedia has focused on is, you know, the white nationalist and the neo-Nazis with automatic weapons and rifles and AR-15s, which you saw, there's plenty of videos of, okay? And that is so far from the truth that it's pathetic. The people that had weapons exposed, open carry, which is legal there in that state, and in many southern states as well.
Even legal in Oregon, as liberal as my state is, it's legal here.
Yeah, those were patriots. Those were members of different patriot groups that banded together, and their purpose actually was to keep anyone from interfering with free speech. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that they agree with what was being said by any particular organization, but it was to make sure that freedom of speech is able to be expressed, because every time someone is attempted to do that about these monuments, these far left groups come in there and, you know, they come in violently. They come in doing horrible things and throwing rocks and bottles of urine and feces and whatnot, and, you know, pipes and clubs with nails sticking out of them and so forth. So, a military veteran by himself is not going to go and show up without a weapon. Okay, so you get a group of patriots together, and it was for their own protection because they knew what these groups are capable of and what they've done in the past. Well, the news media has decided to, instead of looking at who that group actually was, link them in as being part of this KKK neo-Nazi group that was there to protest. And, you know, that's sad. Every attempt, and there were several attempts that were done by members of the media with CNN and MSNBC and many other outlets, ABC, CBS, NBC affiliate stations, to interview those guys. And the ones that did talk to them, when they realized that they were not part of that group that was there to do any protesting, they never aired that. they shut that down right away because that was not part of their narrative. So they have really spun this into something that it was not, and we're just now finding out. In fact, I came to aware of this yesterday, talking to several people that actually witnessed buses, mini buses, coming in from out of the area, bringing protesters, paid protesters, into the area. And they were getting off this bus. Some of them had on all black with the Black Lives Matter writing on it, with the Antifa-type flags, carrying the Antifa flags, and rebel flags, and KKK-type, not outfits as in robes, but as in shirts or swastika flags, things of that nature, getting off the same bus. Now, those people fight going in, you know, when they're confronted with each other, period. They were bussed in, so you tell me who they were. You know, they're not going to get on the same bus together to go fight to this. They're going to kill one another if that was actually true who they were. So a lot of this was staged, and it was set up in advance and paid for. You know, some say it's coming from Soros. You know, I don't know where the money trail leads to, but I sure wish the DOJ would find out.
Yes, yes. Now, you were not at the rally, but via your living room, you had friends before the rally, during the rally, and after the rally that were there, that were on the phone with you. You had video streams on the phone with you, and you were getting a lot of information. So what was that information telling you? Who was really causing the violence?
The violence was started, plain and simple, straight up front, it's can't get any more factual than what I'm fixing to say, by the Antifa folks. They started throwing objects into the crowd. Now, what law enforcement did was they only gave this group one way to get out of that park, and it was funneling them in to that crowd, not allowing anybody to exit out another way. And we already know at this point that the mayor had given a stand down order to law enforcement. So we had law enforcement officers telling us that they weren't allowed to intervene unless they physically saw a life fixing to get taken. Now, you know, how are you going to do that with that many people mixed in and you don't have that many officers in the middle of that crowd? I'm not sure. But they were forced to go into the crowd of the Antifa folks that were attacking them with objects. So, you know, here's what could have easily happened. You take, let's just say, a brick, and you throw it at someone that's got a gun. That person with the gun has the option to defend themselves and consider that a deadly weapon and take action. Those patriots could have used those AR-15s and return fire back at those folks. And a lot of people would have died, and there would have been a lot of bloodshed. But they did not do that. They held off from doing that, and they did everything in their power to try and get out of there and then eventually separate themselves from both sides while they continued to be attacked and other people tried to draw them into physical violence. Many locations where that took place, law enforcement was right there watching, not getting involved, not doing anything as crimes are taking place right in front of them. Now, what a lot of people don't realize, all across this country, most city police, the mayor of the town is in charge of the police chief. He appoints that police chief. So that police chief has to do what he tells him to do or possibly lose his job. That happened recently in Baton Rouge. A lot of people may or may not know what we had happening down there when we had the police officers that were shot and killed during the Black Lives Matter movement, which or protest, which came right after the officers were killed up in Dallas. So in this situation, the chief didn't really have a choice. You know, the mayor says you're not going to get involved, you're going to stand down. He's got to tell his officers to do the same thing. The sheriff's department, on the other hand, is an elected, the sheriff is typically an elected official. So therefore, you know, he doesn't have to answer to a mayor. But we didn't have deputy sheriffs in the middle of this crowd. We had the city police, and we had other city agencies, as well as the state had state agencies there, state police that were involved. And they, too, had to, because they're under the jurisdiction at this point of the city police and the city police chief, who's answering to this mayor.
Wow.
So it was just the biggest cluster that really, really was just a fraction of a second from becoming one of the most violent scenes that could have possibly have happened in America since going back to the Civil War, because
yes,
that's how close it came. When you've got one group that's got, you know, AR-15s and handguns, and they, and think if they hadn't been the patriots, had they not been veterans, if the people that were holding rebel flags had AR-15s, if the KKK members had AR-15s, which the news media says that's who did, but if they had, then you would have seen horrible bloodshed.
Yes, and you would have.
A lot of loss of life.
Yes, yes.
So for us to look and watch the way that CNN and MSNBC has spun this, is, you know, let's go back to during the campaign, how our president Donald Trump at the time, as a campaign to be president, you know, talked about the fake news. And a lot of people, you know, were on the fence on whether or not some of that was true he was saying or not true, or, you know, how can it be that bad? Well, here's a prime example of how it can be that bad. You know, if there was ever any doubt of does the fake news exist? Oh my gosh, does it ever? Because the propaganda that they're spilling out there is 180 from what reality is. And I did a video shortly after where I also, I was just as angry with what Fox News was putting out in the first 24 hours afterwards.
Yes.
But, you know, I can say that, you know, Sean Hannity, I haven't seen him say anything anywhere close to what CNN and MSNBC has been saying. So, you know, kudos to Sean Hannity. Carson Tucker's the same way. He's, you know, he's been pretty straightforward and honest with his reporting. But the rest of them, you know, I right afterwards, I really thought I was tuned into the wrong station, you know. And then hearing what's happening and on the phone with my friends that were there and patriots who were there going, you're not going to believe this. You know, let me show you. And then they ended up, and we don't know who did this, but someone was able to start interfering with the cell phone signals to stop where normally used to get four bars of signal in areas, shutting that down, to where people couldn't get out videos live, and they had to resort to going to, you know, just making a video on their phone and then sharing it later. And
wow,
we're seeing that happening a lot. It happened, you know, a few days later at another rally. I'm not sure if that's going on in Phoenix tonight or not, but it'd be interesting to find out, you know, are they doing the same thing? Who's shutting it down? How are they able to, you know, to interfere with cell phone signals to where, you know, you can't get this information out there.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Hey, if you're just joining us, my guest is Douglas M. Ducote Sr. He's the founder of Veterans United for Justice, and you can find that at veteransunitedforjustice.com. He's Senior Staff Sergeant, U.S. Army Aviation, retired. And we're talking about the Charlottesville protests that turned violent and who is really to blame, what the mainstream media says. I've got a friend, Jeff Dunitz, and he writes writes at his site, lidblog.com. One of the groups on the counter-protest side in Charlottesville Saturday was the liberal hate group Antifa, short for anti-fascists. According to this group, anyone who disagrees with them is a Nazi. This liberal extremist group was certainly not the majority of protesters on Saturday, nor were they even a sizable minority, and their presence in no way excuses any violence from neo-Nazis, KKK, or the animal that ran down people with his car. But it is certain that they contributed to the violence. And it's important to note that the supposed anti-fascist movement is just as much an evil group of extremists as any white supremacist groups. And I agree with that 100%. And I also, when I spoke to you briefly this afternoon, Douglas, I talked to you about a writer that contributes at barbwire.com. She's a wonderful writer named Sylvia Thompson. And I should also note that she happens to be a conservative black woman. But she was writing about some things that are going on. And she wrote about Charlottesville first. And she writes on August 14. I recently watched a video of a newscast by a young reporter, Millie Weaver, and I know you've got some of Millie's stuff posted on your page, and it's fabulous. I've been following her of late, and she's really a great gal. But Sylvia writes, Millie Weaver, who is one of the online news outlets, she was on the scene of the recent Unite the Right peaceful protest turned violent in Charlottesville, Virginia. Ms. Weaver reported what I had suspected early on regarding the event. She described a staged effort by fascist leftists and likely deep state operatives to deny a group of Americans their right to peaceful protest. I searched the internet for news of the event because the network news reports were typically biased and twisted, as they usually are. First, characterizing the Unite the Right group as led by the KKK and identifying them as white nationalists was a deliberate attempt to spur racial animus. Then the refusal to characterize the attacking protesters as Black Lives Matter and Antifa, among others, reveals where the traditional media stand on this issue. She also notes, as you did, Douglas, that Ms. Weaver reported that leftist groups were throwing balloons filled with body waste to provoke violence, and reported that the mayor of Charlottesville told the police to stand down and not to restrain the violent actors. Further, the police forced the Unite the Right group to leave the area directly through the raging leftists as they were pelted and spat upon, according to her report. I mean, it was horrible. And I saw some of those people testifying to that, Douglas, that they said they were bloody, they were hurt, the police were doing nothing.
Yep, that's true. You know, and videos don't lie. I mean, you can go to YouTube and you can find many, many, many videos of violent acts taking place right in front of a line of police officers not getting involved. So, you know, I used to be in law enforcement myself, besides my military career. And I can tell you that, you know, I'm not... There was a reason why they didn't get involved, and it wasn't because they wanted to do their job. It was because they didn't have a choice. You know, you either take your uniform off and walk away and you lost your job, or you do what you're told, which is just stand there. And, you know, that's what happened. But there's a bunch of them that right now are coming out, you know, keeping their identity hidden, but giving interviews and, you know, putting the word out there that exactly what they were told. That they can and cannot do. And that's pretty scary. But, you know, one thing that I think I'm the only one that's even talking about this subject. You don't see it happening out there too much. And I know why. And that's because of the death threats that come when you do that. And I found that out firsthand because I'm getting many of them. When we talk about these hate groups, In any group, okay, I don't believe that everybody is out to do severe violence to another human being, but the majority of the group is, and or they have people within them that are at that level of violence in their mind, okay? And what I'm getting at is, when you look at the past few years, let's just say going back 3 years, and you look at protests that have taken place against monuments being removed, Confederate-type monuments and statues, things of that nature, and protests against law enforcement, who has been leading that march? And that is Black Lives Matter. Everywhere they went, not everywhere, let me back up, but most everywhere they've gone and had major protests, violence erupts to the point of we watched it all unfold on TV. We watched it live. You can go see it on YouTube if you, for whatever reason, didn't get a chance to watch it live. But they looted buildings, set them on fire, injured police officers, burned their cars in the middle of the street, and in several locations, take Dallas, for instance, take Baton Rouge, up in New York, they actually killed police officers. We've had 11 police officers killed in the past 2 years directly related to violence that was taking place at Black Lives Matter marches.
Yes.
And, you know, so as far as most patriots are concerned or people from the outside looking into this, you know, this group has some very bad elements within it as well. And they're the only ones that are out there where you can bet 99% during one of their rallies or protests, somebody's going to get hurt or killed, and things are going to get set on fire, and buildings are going to get looted, and it turns into a huge disaster. You know, we saw it happen in Ferguson, Missouri, okay? All over something that didn't happen, but the media drove it to be a white police officer that shot an innocent black kid, and we now know that that wasn't true. And once again, law enforcement was told to, you know, stand back, and, you know, because the mayor told them not to get involved, let them get it out of their system. Well, they got it out of their system and did millions of dollars worth of damage. So I call that out, and by doing so, my gosh, you should see what comes my way via email and post on my YouTube videos and Facebook and phone calls of just very vile, horrible things, what they're going to do to me, to my wife, my children, for speaking the truth.
Yes, I believe that, Douglas. I've had death threats, and which is one of the reasons why I got very, very good training on concealed carry. I was even trained by a Navy SEAL for concealed carry tactics, and I've done some other things to be safe. I tell people, yeah, I'm kind of like the lady on the blind side. I pray, I pack heat, and I have a lot of friends that are special forces. I cover all my bases.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, you have to.
You absolutely have to.
We moved into a different... a different swimming pool, I can tell you that much. It's,
yes,
you know,
we have.
And, you know, and I make a point of, you know, in my videos of talking about, you know, my African-American friends. You know, I have the friends that I grew up with, that I went to Robert E. Lee High School with, that are black. My black brothers and sisters I served in the military with and in law enforcement with, you know, they're not out there acting like a fool, burning down cities and hurting people. You know, they look at this as the same way that everybody else is looking at it from the outside in, is, you know, these are people acting like they're in a third world country.
Yes.
And they're on a false narrative because they don't want to know what the real truth is.
That's so true. We've got to take a break here, but I've asked Douglas ahead of time if he would mind staying for three quarters of the hour, because I knew that you would want to hear from him with his background in law enforcement, in the military, etc., and his friends on the ground where these things are happening. We want to get the truth out there that mainstream is not getting out. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Douglas Ducote. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. An agent from Rent-A-Computer can save your company time and money on your short-term need for a computer, audiovisual, or office equipment rental. Rentacomputer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and even copiers. So, if you're planning your next corporate event, remember rentacomputer.com provides superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Be his first day back in a bed, not surrounded by hospital monitors. Be his first awkward dance at prom, his interview at his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Merrill Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars, his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road. His first traffic ticket. His first, and if he can help it, his last, opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Welcome back. This is Tammy Jackson, and I'm a little over halfway through the show with my terrific guest, Douglas Ducote Sr. For those of you just turning in, Douglas M. Ducote Sr. is the founder of Veterans United for Justice. You can find them on Facebook, by the way. Just look up, search on Facebook for Veterans United for Justice. He's a senior staff sergeant, U.S. Army aviation retired. And we're talking about Charlottesville, the protest that went down there that turned violent, what the real truth is, what the media is saying, and what's going on with law enforcement, Antifa. the whole lot of it. Douglas Ducote, in the last half hour, I quoted this wonderful writer, Sylvia Thompson. She's a conservative black woman, contributes at barbedwire.com, and she just wrote another article about law enforcement being the key to holding down violence at these rallies, which is very, very good. And it stresses the importance of law enforcement. And she writes, I listened today with great irritation to a Fox News twosome pontificating about the relative peacefulness of a free speech rally in Boston, Massachusetts, as compared to the mayhem during an earlier similar rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. The talking heads seem to have no clue as to the reason for the peacefulness. The reason is a law enforcement presence in Boston that meant business. There was certainly no difference in the hate-filled, anti-Trump, deranged masses who turned their violence on the Unite the Right protesters in Virginia. They attended the Boston rally in even greater numbers, and they were, I'm sure, as raring to provoke violence as before. Large men, however, in black uniforms with large sticks to beat the crap out of you if necessary, is a powerful deterrent to violent people. People who could not function outside a mob setting. And then Sylvia also notes, everyone who's paying attention knows that leftist agitators, Black Lives Matter, or BLM, anti-fascists, Antifa, and other groups like these groups are funded by very wealthy entities who use them to accomplish nefarious goals. And that's what you were alluding to, Douglas, when you talked about perhaps Soros was funding what was going down in Charlottesville. And I would not be surprised to learn that. So what are your thoughts concerning law enforcement, what happened in Charlottesville versus what happened in Boston?
Well, on the Soros thing, somebody's funding it, right? Because, you know, we're talking a bunch of young kids that are able to get together and be bussed in and, you know, hotels and food and everything else, you know, by the hundreds. So, you know, we do need to find out where that money trail is coming from. But my whole thing with law enforcement is that, you know, You have a job, and that is to, you know, protect the citizens, and you know, you answer to the citizens, and your job is to protect them and their welfare, and above and beyond everything else. But when you have a mayor that's over the police chief, then, you know, it's not necessarily a judgment call as much as it is, do you want your job tomorrow? You know, I've thought long and hard, what if I'd have been in that same situation? You know, if I was still in law enforcement when something of this nature was taking place, you know, would I have stood down? What would I have done? And, you know, I don't know, but I don't think I could have stood there and not got involved when I know for a fact that in front of me is people that are just trying to save their life being attacked brutally by a vicious group of horrible, hate-filled people. And, you know, that's what most of them did. Then when you get up into Boston and in many other places, you know, you go take down in Baton Rouge or up in, you know, in Dallas, that's not how it worked. You know, when you started acting like you belong in a third world country, they took you down and arrested you. And Baton Rouge alone last year, when all that took place and the police officers were shot and killed, the Baton Rouge police arrested over 200 people. Okay. There was a huge group of folks that went to jail. Sadly, the DA decided that they weren't going to hold them and they were going to drop the charges because it was just too overwhelming for the court system. Well, what happened next? Now you got the Black Lives Matter people lawyering up and turning around and suing the city of Baton Rouge for false arrest. Now the city instead of taking it to a trial, because they're going to lose even way more, it's going to cost more money to go to court than it would be just to pay them off, decided we're going to go ahead and just write them a nice little check. So they paid them for doing the violence that they did, and there was no consequences for their actions. And it baffles the mind.
It does. And Douglas, I would say that that seems to be par for the course with a lot of the younger generation we're seeing, and I don't know how far back it goes, but I'm seeing people that are absolutely, they don't understand the idea of consequences and personal responsibility. There are no consequences. I looked at the kids, what they did at Berkeley. I look at these other violent protests. There seem to be no consequences, and the only consequences we hear about are those that are, you know, put upon anybody that's conservative. But everybody else, if they're liberal, they can say, they can do what they want, they can go and moan and groan and weep for safe spaces. Sylvia, in her article, I want to get this in, this is great. She, as she's talking about what the police did and how they forestalled the violence in Boston, and they were told to stand down in Charlottesville, that the violence is coming from these Antifa and BLM people. It's not coming from patriots. I know patriots. This is not what they do. We did not march in the streets when Obama was elected. We were upset. We didn't like it. We thought, what can we do to get somebody that's conservative elected? That's what we'll do. Peaceful protesting is fine. Violent protesting is not. But Sylvia writes, American patriots must vehemently resist this current ploy on the part of leftist fascists and the media to use a marginalized group of white nationalists as a whipping rod to beat conservative patriots into silence. Do not let these despicable people prevent conservatives from gathering peacefully, protesting, and doing all that we are constitutionally allowed to do to take down the anti-American left. I love the way she writes. She's just straight to the point.
Well. Yeah.
And she's absolutely right, isn't she, Douglas?
Yeah, it's spot on. She's very, very accurate in what she just said. You know, I saw today something that was floating around on the internet that I thought, you know, it was meant as more or less like kind of a joke, but yet it sure does ring true. And that is what we're seeing today, and what we're dealing with today is the first generation that didn't get spanked.
True.
They grow up the way the rest of them. And I thought, wow, you know what? Look how true that is.
Yes.
You know?
I've had people tell me that if you spank a child, you'll teach them to be violent. And all I could think of was, okay, let me think of all the kids I babysat over the years. Hundreds of kids. Let me tell you. And the only one that was ever just a little hellion was a child whose parents didn't believe in spanking. The other ones whose parents believed in spanking, and I'm not talking beating your kids. I'm talking spankings and done properly. But suddenly we have a generation of kids who are just self-involved, little thin-skinned, disrespectful babies. And they're growing up into these hateful people that can pull all this nonsense with no repercussions. And what I would say, Douglas Ducote, is the parents of these people, you have failed. I'm sorry. I think they have absolutely failed.
Yeah, couldn't say any better myself. There, right now, you may have saw this, and your listeners may have saw it as well. It's hitting the internet heavy at the moment. A high school female student in California that is very upset, and so are all her little liberal friends, because the principal told her she was not properly dressed for school, and for having a low-cut blouse and no bra, and how horrible this was, and how they're going to shame the school and shame the students. And she posted a picture of herself and what she wore that day. And I looked at that and thought, my daughter wouldn't dare walk out the house dressed like that. And here she is.
That's what I was thinking. Like that.
And all of her little liberal friends are jumping in there too, going, oh, how dare them tell us how to dress.
Oh, my goodness. I know. All I thought is I can remember my parents saying, you're not going anywhere dressed like that. And the stuff I wore was conservative compared to that. But there was a line. And, you know, I respected my parents. Even if I didn't always agree with them, I knew I needed to be respectful. And that's the way it was. You know?
Yeah, well, I grew up with a dad that, you know, my father served in the 20th Special Forces Group and served two tours in Vietnam. And this man ran a very tight household.
Yeah. And he raised a son who's doing good things. Hey, we're coming to the end of our time. If you've been listening to Senior Staff Sergeant, U.S. Army Aviation retired, Douglas M. Ducote Sr. He was also in law enforcement. He's the founder of Veterans United for Justice. Find them at Facebook. Douglas Ducote, thanks for taking the time to be on the show. I'd love to have you on again sometime.
Sure. Thank you so much. And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
You bet. I agree. The Tammy Jackson Show will be back to wrap up the hour after the break. The Tammy Jackson Show is, of course, sponsored by my friends, Robar Companies, as they're now known. They were Robar Guns. They've changed it to Robar Companies, which is a good thing. They are a true custom firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. They are found online at robarguns.com. If you're in the market for a precision rifle, let me tell you, look at Robar's SR-21. I've talked about this gun before in the past. It's a sniper rifle, 21st century. I shot this gun at the Ben Avery, or this rifle, I should say. My dad always said, don't call a rifle a gun. I shot this rifle at the Ben Avery shooting range just outside of Phoenix, and it was love at first shot group. Described on the website, it says, Robar enhanced modular driven technology, TAC-21 chassis system of the SR-21 is mated with an accurized Remington 700 action and match grade barrel, makes for the ultimate precision rifle. I can attest to that. Even I had half-inch groupings. It was fantastic. Let me tell you, you got to check it out. The SR-21 at robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
On the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405. Mother.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I was talking for the last three segments with Doug Ducote. You'll want to go back and listen to the podcast if you didn't get to hear it. What a great guy. He served in the military. He's been law enforcement. He had friends on the ground at the Charlottesville protest that turned violent. And he was talking to us about who was really causing the violence, what they were doing, what mainstream media is not telling you. Right now, I want to talk about some breaking news. A friend of mine from Arizona just sent this news to me via AZ Central. This news broke at 5 p.m. Arizona time, and that is this. No guilty verdicts in the Bundy Ranch standoff trial. That's pretty big news. The article begins, a federal jury in Las Vegas did not return any guilty verdicts Tuesday against four men accused of conspiracy and weapons charges for their roles in the 2014 Bundy Ranch standoff. Jurors returned not guilty verdicts on some counts and deadlocked on others. After 4 hours of deliberation, delivering a second surprising defeat to federal prosecutors in the case, jurors notified U.S. District Court Judge Gloria Navarro on Tuesday that they had reached an impasse on several counts, and the defendants were called into court at 2 p.m. when the verdicts were returned. Richard Lovelian of Oklahoma, Eric Palmer, Stephen Stewart, and O. Scott Drexler, all of Idaho, where I just was over the weekend, were being tried on conspiracy, extortion, assault, and obstruction charges for helping Cliven Bundy fend off a government roundup of his cattle in what became known as the Battle of Bunkerville. The Bundy Ranch standoff is one of the most high-profile land use cases in modern Western history, pitting cattle ranchers, anti-government protesters, and militia members against the Bureau of Land Management. For decades, the BLM reportedly ordered Bundy to remove his cattle from federal lands, and in 2014 obtained a court order to seize his cattle as payment for more than $1 million in unpaid grazing fees. Well, this is a big case. This is a big decision, the fact that they were found not guilty. The BLM is at the bottom of a lot of problems. I know this for a fact. I live in Oregon. We've got upwards of 80%+ of our federal lands. I've heard maybe 90% of our lands in Oregon are federal lands. That's just absolutely wrong. What is happening is they are turning our states into national parks, not allowing private ownership, which was part of the reason for the United States of America, folks. Also, I need to say that Trump, this is new news that just got to me, Donald Trump just hinted he will pardon Sheriff Joe. What do you think about that? I happen to love Sheriff Joe. I mean, he's done some great things. Remember the pink underwear he gave his prisoners in Arizona? I wonder how many of you are hoping that Sheriff Joe Arpaio, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, gets pardoned. You know, they said 11 hours ago that Trump will not pardon him at the Phoenix rally, but Trump just hinted that he will. I happen to know that Sheriff Joe really did support President Trump. We've got so many people now that are not supporting our president. As you all know, he was not my first choice. I was behind Ted Cruz. I liked a number of other people. I liked Bobby Jindal in Texas. But once it was Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, are you kidding me? I'm the gal that wrote about the 47 bodies in the wake of Hillary Clinton. There is no way I wanted Hillary Clinton, who should actually be wearing an orange jumpsuit or perhaps Sheriff Joe's pink underwear, no way should she be at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Absolutely no way. So I'm thinking, wow, I would love it if President Trump went ahead and pardoned Sheriff Joe. That would be a very good thing, especially in the face of other people in Arizona, Jeff Flake and John McCain, who are doing everything they can to act like liberal Democrats as opposed to Republicans. They're going against the president at every turn. What is wrong with our Republicans? We get Republicans in the majority. We've got both houses and we've got the White House. Now we've got another good person on SCOTUS. But with all our advances, I tell you what, our senators and our legislators, our representatives, are not acting like Republicans. What does it mean to act like a Republican? Well, I would like them to follow the Republican platform, per se, exactly. But beyond that, I also would like them to support the president. He may not be the perfect Republican president, but he's the president we have. And he's got the thick skin and he's got the bullheadedness to get things through if they would help him. Just because he's not the perfect president is no way to hand the reins of power back to the socialist left, which is what some Republicans seem to be trying to do right now. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm disgusted when I see that. When we got the majorities in both houses of Congress, when we got the White House, we ought to be doing a whole lot right now. Instead, they're bickering and fighting, acting like little bad-mannered children and not getting through anything we ask them to get through. I'm happy that Trump is president. I might have been happier with some other choices, but you know what? I think God can use Donald Trump if he can use some of the pig-headed people in Congress and in the Senate. I wish they'd get a clue. But for right now, the big, big hot news I just reported, there are no guilty verdicts in the Bundy Ranch standoff. I had some friends that actually went down there. I didn't know exactly if I agreed with them going down there, but I sure didn't like the BLM, and I'm happy that there's no guilty verdicts. And let's all stay tuned and hear if Trump actually does pardon Sheriff Joe. I'm a fan of Sheriff Joe. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with more great guests. But until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Do not be silent. Let your voice be heard because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. I tried to be a good boy, ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't. Down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. The squeaky wheel is always getting grease. Well, I've been sitting still, on the side of the street, always tiptoeing, trying not to wake the beast. Oh, but here I come. All you monsters are better run from me. You can't buy my silence. You can't steal my voice. You can't keep me quiet. I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down. Now.
night I will bring the noise. Try to beat me down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time